an instrumental solo. I mean, anybody can do that. You can get a 3-year-old kid when he first learns how to play the trumpet and he tries to go on his own, becomes an improvisationist with that flat note. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
The difference is being able to be astute in the language of the universe, because that's what improvisation is. It's trusting the universe, trusting your knowledge of the music, and being able to speak from within yourself in an honest way.
And so, Jelly's Last Jam.
Jelly's Last Jam.
That was...
Tell us about it. 1989 to 1992. It was a huge experience for me. I mean, just to work with Gregory Hines, and I had no intention of becoming a Broadway choreographer. I didn't shoot for that. It was a very generous gesture on Gregory Hines' part.
Mm-hmm. Which won you the 1993 Outer Critics Circle Award?
1993. We should have gotten 1992, but Susan Stroman 92? Beat us.
Oh, yeah,
Susan Stroman beat us out.
And you also got a Tony nomination and a Drama Desk nomination.
And a Drama Desk nomination.
For
yes,
that
again.
Work.
For that work. It was a huge cast. We had, I mean, a lot of the actors, the prominent actors of today, were in that show. And you had Anne Duguay, Tony Award winner from Bringing the Noise, Bringing the Funk.
Mm-hmm.
She was in the show. Keith David, the general from Armageddon, Keith David has done, he's a huge actor in Hollywood. Ruben Santiago Hudson was in the show with us.
Mm-hmm.
Brenda Braxton, who is now in Chicago, starring in Chicago,
mm-hmm.
on Broadway. And Savion Glover was in that show with me as
mm-hmm.
well.
And he was the younger Morton.
He was the younger Jelly Roll Morton.
And Gregory Hines was the older.
And Gregory Hines was mm-hmm. Jelly Roll himself. And the story was told through somewhat of a retrospective, but it was more about how a man addressed his pain,
mm-hmm.
The pain of his life. Regardless to all of these things that you can do, you at the end of the day, you're left facing yourself. And what is the truth of that? And it was also, Jelly Roll Morton's story is also very closely related to the slave owners who were owning the slaves and having sex with them at the same time. But
right.
not only, I mean, how? That's a dirty secret.
Yeah.
And then in order to be accepted, you have to deny who you are.
Right.
That's also a very complex emotional journey for any human being to go on,
mm-hmm.
and I think that was the more outstanding of the issues. That was the more compelling story in the show itself.
Right.
You know what I mean? How the journeys that we go on individually,
mm-hmm.
as human beings, and what is your story at the end of the day?
Right.
You know what I mean? And that was what was so beautiful about that.
And is Jelly Roll Morton, what I've heard is he was the force that brought jazz to the public.
Well, no, see.
No?
No. Yeah, see.
All right, see, I'm wrong again, so you've got to correct
no,
me.
No, 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 no. I think, that, see, the story of jazz is too huge to really, I mean, we're only talking about the people we heard of.
Yes, that's true.
You know what I mean? We're not talking about, I mean, what was the what was the black population of the 30s? I'm not sure.
I'm not sure.
20s or 30s. The difference is it was a part of our culture.
Mm-hmm.
The music was a part of our culture. And you had many, many, many musicians that you could never even begin to hear about that was playing this music. Louis Armstrong. Fats Waller was out there.
Only a few of the names.
Those were only a few of the names
right.
that Jelly Roll Morton's story was compelling because he claims himself to be the inventor of jazz.
Sort of like Al Gore invented the internet.
Right, right, right. I mean, but how? That's like me saying I invented tap dance. You know, I mean, yes. And me and Al Gore, we should have dinner. we should sit and talk about this invention thing. But no, I think for him to say that, but and we did a number in the show called Too Late Daddy. Mm-hmm. Because by the time Jelly Roll Martin had come up north, Count Basie, Duke Ellington, all of them were already here. Swinging. Mm-hmm. Harlem was swinging. Mm-hmm. I mean, swinging. So, you know.
And speaking of that, one of the things that I learned while I was learning Lindy, again, a lot of my experience in relation to this is through Lindy and through Tap, but one of the things that I learned is that, for instance, the Savoy Ballroom.
Yes.
That was a place, even back then, where whites went, blacks went to dance, and from what I understand, from what I've been told, that the racial barriers there were much less than out.
Well,
in,
I mean,
in general.
Listen, there's, you know, there's a general rule.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether we couldn't or we shouldn't, but or we couldn't or we just didn't. But blacks never closed their doors to whites.
Yeah,
they were not forbidden to come in our neighborhoods.
Right.
As a matter of fact, they came in our neighborhoods and built establishments to perpetuate their financial gain.
Mm.
I mean, we couldn't go downtown.
Mm.
They could come uptown. We couldn't go downtown. You know what I mean? Mm. So all of our society was open to them. It was their society. It was the white society that was close to us.
Mm.
So, yes, I mean, the Savoy Ballroom, I mean, and that's where Bill Cosby did this thing in 1985 at the Apollo Theater. He did this thing at the Apollo Theater. And let me see if I can get this thing for you, because it is huge. It is a beautiful introduction. He was talking about how the cultures, how black music became popular,
mm-hmm.
or black entertainment, period, had become popular. And I am going to Chicago to do a thing on Count Basie, and we're going to talk about Count Basie's career and his
contribution. And you're going next week, correct?
I'm going next week, yes, with the Chicago Human Rhythm Project.
Okay.
Now, which is with Lane Alexander, the gentleman mm-hmm. who introduced me to coming to New York, or got me to Broadway. Now, Bill Cosby said this thing. I'm going to say this to you. It is so much fun. I love this. He says, there is a tradition that we have at the Apollo Theater is built up over the years. It's called borrowing from the best. Now, the Apollo Theater is uptown. Many performers from downtown would come uptown and sit right there in the theater and copy down what the uptown people were saying so they could take it downtown. Many of the performers mm-hmm. and comics would come and sit right there where you all are sitting. Well, not really. They would sit in the back because they would have pencil and paper, and they would copy down what the uptown person was saying, and then they would take it downtown. Many dancers, choreographers came from downtown, uptown, to copy down what they saw uptown and then take it downtown, where they thought it was new and inventive, and they had created it downtown. But
right.
they hadn't.
Right.
They had saw it uptown and right. kept it quiet about what part of town they saw it around when they wrote it down. You know what
oh
I mean?
Oh, my goodness. You know, if
yeah.
you ever stop tap dancing, you could be an impressionist.
No. But I'm trying to work on my Bill Cosby because I love Jell-O pudding.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, you know, the as far as the Savoy Ballroom was concerned, the black bands, when they were invited downtown, as a matter of fact, Count Basie was the first black man to play at the Waldorf Astoria in 1935.
Oh, okay.
But in 1935, he had to be invited down there.
Right.
He couldn't just walk in. So the doors were closed to us in many, many ways. We wanted to be a part of America. Mm-hmm. We had no choice.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is where we are, and this is where we made our home, and we made America's music, and we made America's dance, and we're very proud of that. I'm very proud of that. Jelly Roll Morton, regardless to what his background was also a part of that.
Yeah. Now, we mentioned earlier, before we officially started this talk, that our latest president, Barack Obama, not that this is related to dance, but since we're on this subject, does that give you more hope?
Barack Obama represents a lineage. Listen, there have been Langston Hughes, Frederick Douglass.
Mm-hmm.
There have been many, many, many intelligent, powerful, and huge contributions to America by way of the African-American culture.
Yes.
It is not... We can try to avoid the conversation of race, but without really looking at the ills of this country, it's never going to really be able to heal.
Right.
You don't just stay sick. You go to the doctor and get fixed. But that means that the doctor has to have a dialogue with you to find out what the illness really is,
mm-hmm.
or what you're feeling, so that you can know. I think Barack Obama is the right man at the right time. He is a man who has risen to an occasion that he can occupy a space that he can occupy.
Yeah.
He's the right man for this time, and America chose well. They yeah. absolutely chose well. I don't care if he's black or green or red. What he is really showing us, what I'm very proud of, he happens to be a black man. Mm-hmm. What I'm really proud of is that he is a man that is concerned. He is doing the job in the spirit of what the job requires, and it requires that he lead a nation. And I think he's doing quite well.
Yeah. In the short time that he's been in office?
In the short time that he's been in office. Yeah. Jesus.
Yeah.
I mean, his humanity. I mean, and what more do we have? I think that's one of the reasons I think I am a good teacher. Because I don't try to teach the dance. I try to teach the person.
Right.
I don't like to do the classes with 100 and 200 people in. Because I'm not interested in the success factor. Mm-hmm. I think... the dance has become successful in my life because of the human beings that have touched it. Barack Obama, very fine as Henderson, could have been a president. I think so. I think Duke Ellington could have probably been the president.
Hmm.
If that would have been his aspiration,
right.
If he would have been, if a man of Duke Ellington's intelligence and gifts, his style, his class. I mean, Barack Obama is really reflective of many, 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 many men, black, white, or indifferent,
right.
or other. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
He's just a reflection of what a wonderful man looks like. I think the same of James Carville. James Carville is a little quirky, but I think he's. You know what I mean? He's an intelligent...
Dead and we all quirky.
absolutely the point.
Yeah.
Absolutely the point. But the difference is, in a public persona, when you look at how we judge people, when we nitpick at so many little things because everybody wants to rule the world in their own way, mm-hmm. you fail to see what is most important about the human being. And we have allowed ourselves, this is the real tragedy of this time, we have allowed ourselves to accept we were sold a bill of goods that was completely unacceptable for over 8 years.
Yeah.
And we accepted it. basically because of the hyperbole that was being offered to us, the lies and the rosy picture. Oh, look at the picture. It was a magic trick. Mm. And he is not drawing that picture for us. He's really telling us we're going to have to engage here. Yeah. We're going to have to be a part of this process. We're going to have to tap dance through this with some sweat. I mean, you understand what I mean?
Yeah.
You don't get the reward without the work, which is one of the things I love about tap dance. You cannot fake it.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot fake it. If you fake your way through tap dance, you're absolutely doing nothing.
Okay. You're emulating.
So I love Barack Obama.
I'm very
proud, but even more so than Barack is his wife. Oh no, she's amazing.
Yeah, she's very accomplished herself
She's accomplished, mm-hmm. And do you see how she's opening up the White House?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She's letting people see the possibilities of what their future can be,
mm-hmm.
Not just a portion of America, but all of America.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, but we usually paint this picture in black and white. But we have Asians, we have Italians,
mm-hmm.
Latinos, Filipinos. I mean, you know, America is not a nation of purity.
Okay, let's get back to your accomplishments, if we may.
I want to be the president.
I would vote for you. I would vote for you.
I'm gonna tap dance my way into the White House.
But your Emmy Award, let's talk about that.
My Emmy Award was Precious Memories.
Precious Memories. And what was that show?
That was so long ago. Jerry's Palm Tavern. It was about a place that black performers would go,
mm-hmm.
after they would perform, after a night of entertainment. They would get up on the Regal stage, or the Lafayette Theater,
mm-hmm.
not the Lafayette Theater. I forgot the other theater, in big theater on South Side of Chicago. But it was on 55th and Garfield. It was called Jerry's Palm Tavern, and it was just really pretty much an expose on the after hours nightlife for blacks.
Nice.
See, because in New York they would go to Harlem. In Chicago, they would go on the South Side. And usually, and 55th and Garfield was the hot spot. Garfield Avenue in Chicago, 55th Street, was where all the hot nightclub spots were.
Mm-hmm.
That's the general statement. And Jerry's Palm Tavern was there. And what we did was a retrospective on that. It wasn't anything really deep. It was just really geared around Jerry's Palm Tavern, because Jerry's Palm Tavern was a particular hotspot. There were many, many different clubs in Chicago. And I'm not a historian, so I couldn't really rattle them off to you.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't do my research like you did your research. See, that's why when you come here, we go right together. What?
It's my show. I've got to do it.
This is your show, baby.
Now, wait a second. Not to interrupt you, but as you're talking about Precious Memories, I'm doing a little more research. And I typed in your name along with PBS Special Precious Memories. And what did I come up with but a page on the Rochester Philharmonic Orchestra website?
Yes.
Were you in my hometown without telling me?
No, I was not going to tell you. Because you're not even there anymore.
I know I'm not, but...
You're not there, but I'm going there with Carmen Bradford.
No way! When are you going to Rochester?
Stripling.
Excuse me? Yep, I see that. Oh, when are you going?
In May 28th and 29th.
Why did you not tell me this?
Because you're not there.
I can go stay with my parents. Are you
kidding me? Well, they're doing a thing that might harken back to the Cotton Club.
Mm-hmm.
So they may want to do something on Cab Calloway. And it's a Philharmonic Orchestra. So I may do a little Cab Calloway. I don't know. They haven't told me what they wanted me to do yet.
Wow. Now,
but when they decide what they want me to do, then we'll do that.
Wow.
If they do Cab Calloway, of course we're going to do the Birth of the Blues. We're going to do a little Heidi Ho. I have to get a tuxedo for this.
The things you have to do for dance.
The things I have to do for dance.
I would make a trip up to visit my family and see you.
Would you do that?
Of course. What did I do for 2 years? I traveled to see you. That's the story
you
of my life.
Definitely. Would you come to the Philharmonic to see me?
Of course I would. It's my hometown.
That, now, that night, I think we're doing 2 shows.
Send me the dates, please.
I think we're doing
it.
It's right there.
Well, they don't have dates on here. It just says 08-09 season.
Oh, okay. I'll send you everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. May 28th and 29th.
You are cheating on me in my hometown, and you
didn't
even
tell me. I'm
cheating
on you. You didn't even know behind your back. You had no idea.
I didn't, but let's start.
Then there was Bringing the Noise, and then the last show I did on Broadway was Thou Shalt Not with Harry Connick Jr. and Susan Stroman.
Okay, Malcolm X.
I was an extra in that movie.
Now, but how was the transition from stage to screen?
I didn't have a really big part. It's very, very different. Mm-hmm. While observing it, I was pretty much an observer. Mm-hmm. But we had a scene in the hall when he was Rhythm Red, I think it was, mm-hmm. and he was running out of the nightclub. And you'll see, if you blink, you'll see me, because I was sitting in a chair. Right. If you blink, I'm in the movie, but if you blink, you'll miss me. When he runs through the hallway, I end up getting up. But at one point, we had an altercation with Denzel where we tried to stop him for the police, mm-hmm. but they didn't dig it. Spike said, well, let's film that anyway just in case we want to use it.
I see.
Me and a couple of guys was trying to help the cops. But then, you know, why would we do that? Because, you know, he was one of us.
Right.
So they cut it out. They didn't want me to upstage Denzel. But the transition from, I mean, I haven't really, really, really done film. That was the one extra job I did, and I didn't like doing extra work. So I said, well, if I get fortunate enough to do a part, and you know, and this is show business, mm-hmm. so I'm hustling most of the time, so mm-hmm. paying for class and paying for rent. Sometimes it's just not. The landlord wins out.
Yeah.
So I have not really studied acting formally. I've done a couple of little things here and there. So now I'm writing shows wherein I can work and try to build the possibility for that. You know,
mm-hmm.
those are what my dreams are made of. Mm-hmm. What possibilities may come. So you leave the door open, and that's how we do that, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's one thing that was always impressed upon me was that if you are in the dance to get rich beyond your wildest dreams,
forget it.
Right, exactly. that it can be a very difficult life, but
right.
a very extremely rewarding life at the same time. But you're not going into it for necessarily the financial rewards, and those can come. It's not that that never happens, obviously, but
absolutely.
But
I think the more powerful reward is your exchange with your craft, whatever it is.
Right.
The more powerful reward is what you learn about yourself and what you learn about your humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And what you learn about the process of exchanging or sharing it with people. My greatest lessons have come through teaching and watching people grow,
yeah.
and watching them go on to be, and then, you know, they grow to the point where I end up wanting to be like them. We have some, I mean, I really do. I'm, you know, when you see people who you know have potential, and they tell you what their dreams are or what they want, and you see them fight for it and they win.
Yeah.
You can be nothing other than proud of that.
And
you're like, hey.
You're probably working with a lot of very talented young people now.
I think all young people are talented.
Hmm.
They just need, once they decide on a gift mm-hmm. or a path for themselves, they just need the right opportunities and the right guidance.
Mm-hmm.
And, or a way to help guide themselves. But they need the encouragement to understand how to continue the educational process for themselves,
right.
or the growth process.
And you're teaching in New York.
No, I don't teach. I don't teach a regular class in New York.
Okay.
New Yorkers don't want to know how to grow. They want to know how to get the next job.
Yeah. I thought you were teaching at university there.
I was. I was teaching at Long Island
University
for a minute.
Okay.
And I was very disappointed in the university system. Because TAP always gets a, it usually gets a second seat. Yeah. Unless you have a TAP dancer or a person with the appreciation for TAP dance, with an appreciation for TAP dance, as the head of the department, then people are looking at modern as America's dance form. And then ballet, even ballet is a European dance form, and it gets priority over an American dance form.
Mm.
I find that very disappointing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That we are not looking at, we do not support our own culture. And tap dance is definitely a part. It's a major, major part of America's culture.
Mm-hmm.
It is America's premier dance form. And we are, we do not support it as we should in our arts programs.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But when you look at the dancers that are out here today, and you know what? Ballet dancers don't, I mean, listen, is it to be able to do what tap dancers do? Shut up. ballet dancers got some work to do, but that's why Gregory danced with Baryshnikov.
Yeah,
because Baryshnikov really was an artist. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's like there are people who can paint, but Picasso was an artist. Basquiat was an artist. I mean, it's like taking the language of the universe and expressing it in a non-judgmental kind of way.
Right.
It's pure and honest and there for you to see it and allow for it to affect you. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
When you watch dancers like Jimmy Slide and Gregory Hines, they were painting rhythmic pictures in real time. So it's very difficult for people to understand as a dancer. Very few ballet dancers can do improvisation.
Hmm.
I mean, you don't see as many dancers really do improvisation because the musical training is not as broad.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. And
Baryshnikov could hit it. Wasn't that amazing?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
That was really amazing to see Gregory Hines and White Knights with Baryshnikov really be able to express himself that freely, you know, whether he was in a form structure or not.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, I mean, there are dancers out here today that can absolutely do that. There's a lot of depth there,
mm-hmm,
that people don't care to reach that far to touch. If it looks good and feels good on the surface, okay, we'll do that, and then let's go.
Right. Right. Kind of like society at large.
Absolutely the point.
Yeah.
Absolutely the point.
Well, let's go back to your experience, because I do want to put this in. Directing. So you started directing with Savion Glover's Dancing Under the Stars, like we mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the New York Shakespeare Festival.
New York Shakespeare Festival. Actually, I did. But yeah, that was my directorial debut, and now mm-hmm. I'm starting to write. But it was a wonderful gift.
How did you find directing? Was it what?
Oh, it was wonderful.
Yeah?
Oh, it was
It was an easy transition then?
It was. Well, it's not an easy. Listen. How hard is it going to be to direct for somebody like Savion Glover? You mean,
got a point.
I mean, it's like choreographing for Gregory Hines. This was not something that was hard to do. First of all, because we spoke the same language.
Mm-hmm.
We spoke the same language. Of course, they all, both of them spoke the language so much better than me. But I'm the crazy man with all these thoughts in my head about how this can go, and they're usually the ones that are going.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And since they knew I was the crazy man with thoughts, you know, they were like, okay, well, let's see if you can pick up something over here.
Right.
And that was really what it was. I mean, it wasn't really directing anything of depth at the time. The difference is when you're working with people who are the top in their field, really, I mean, it's like staging a show for Liza Minnelli. Just, I mean, you're the stager, but really she's telling you what she wants.
Right.
And you're like, okay, let's make sure everything is right. And that's all we pretty much did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't have a huge track record, but it was huge to even direct for Savion Glover, because mm-hmm. you still had to shape the evening in a way where it crescendoed and it still had some intellectual content. But all the elements that were bringing the noise, bringing the funk, were in the Shakespeare in the Park,
okay.
outside of the text. And that was, and where George Wolfe's genius came in is that he was able to parallel the African-American experience in all of America. He was actually able to do it in 2.5 hours, and it was just amazing. But he was able to create a social commentary on top of tap dance. I mean, coming all the way from the Middle Passage,
mm-hmm.
From Gory Island, Door of No Return, Ilgori's Door, from where the slaves traveled through to come to America, to board the boats, to come to America, through to the Middle Passage, all the way up to now, where we're doing funk. He was actually able to go on a musical, a social, a political journey all the way up through to now. I mean, but it was a huge journey to go from being in the park to the workshop at the Public Theater to Broadway. To see that whole process was wonderful.
Yeah. So now you've mentioned that you are working on your own productions now.
I am working on a show entitled The Rhythm of Life.
Mm-hmm.
And that is basically it started out as an evening with Ted Levy.
Mm-hmm.
But I would like to do some commentary on how rhythm affects all of us and how the rhythms of our lives are pretty much the same, just at different times and different places.
Mm-hmm.
We all need and want the same things, and those rhythms are basically the same. I mean, you sleep, you breathe, you eat, you know, we're born, we die, and in between, it's pretty much the same thing. I mean, it really is. It's pretty much the same thing. It's just that we all go through it in different ways.
What point are you in this production?
I'm at the second draft of the script.
Okay. So you're doing the script writing?
I'm actually working on the script myself until I can hire a co-writer. I started it in November of last year, and I put up a version of it up at the Triad Theater,
mm-hmm.
and it was pretty successful. I did a little bit of my own choreography and did a little singing. And
mm-hmm. That's right. You are a very good singer.
Oh, flattery will get you everything.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking at these clips of you as I'm preparing to talk, and I thought, I didn't know Ted sang. And
What clips are you looking at? Have you gone to my MySpace page?
I've been to your MySpace. I looked on YouTube.
Did you see my demo?
I may have. I've seen a bunch of things by now. I don't know.
Okay.
Different ones.
There's a seven minute thing,
mm-hmm.
where you get to see, it's almost like a video resume.
Right. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. And you're singing in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
well, that's what I'm doing now. I'm really working on trying to get me a thing in the casinos. But
do you
want
to do more singing?
Oh, God, I want to entertain. That's what Shirley Hall Bass taught me.
Right.
I didn't just go and learn how to tap dance from Shirley Hall Bass. We were doing things like, we were doing actual American theater with a twist on it.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we did, yeah, if we did Peter Pan, we would do My Man Pan. Mm-hmm. If we did Tom Sawyer, it was Tom Sawyer Jackson. And guess who happened to have been Tom Sawyer?
Gotcha.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We did a thing called Showcase 80 where I was Cab Calloway. In 1980, I did the Heidi Heidi Ho thing, and I was like, wow. it was just amazing because Shirley Hall Bass, these are things that I never imagined that I could do, but she wasn't the one thing she would never let us do is say the C word.
The C word.
The C, the four letter, the bad word, the four letter word.
I see. All right. Yes. The C
word. The C with the apostrophe T.
Uh-huh.
It's a bad word.
Yep.
If you say that word, you shut off all avenues for possibility.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And she, I was not a gymnastics man. That's why I love tap dance. I keep my feet on the floor. But she actually made me, I did acrobatics.
Harlem Symphony, that's what you were singing in those clips. And I'm going to put that on my website, if you don't mind.
Oh, yeah, you can put the whole thing on there.
Yeah, it's just amazing to watch.
I directed the whole thing. I want to get it done, redone, so that it's like 5 minutes, completely 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's on, because this was like, this was originally a, what do you call it? This was the demo of the demo. the pre-demo. It was like a teaser. It was supposed to be something so I could let some people see it and they could give me critique on it.
Gotcha.
And the guy who did it for me died.
Oh, geez.
So now I have to go and get somebody else who can do it with better equipment, make it sharper, make it clearer, make it better,
mm-hmm.
and we can move on.
Mm-hmm. And we've reached the end of your bio, we've reached pretty much present day.
Present day?
Yeah.
I received, one of the things... Just recently, I received a Gregory Hines Humanitarian Award from the L.A. Tap Festival at the Debbie Allen School.
When was that?
That was last year.
I didn't know that.
November of last year. Finis Henderson was remembered and honored at the Chicago Human Rhythm Project. I received a Rhythm World Award for Finis Henderson.
Okay, and explain what that is.
Well,
the Rhythm World
Award. The Rhythm World Award, it says honoring your contribution to the world of rhythm through your dedication and commitment to carrying on the tradition and the legacy of Finis Henderson.
Was that also in L.A., or was that...
That was in Chicago.
Chicago.
That was at the Chicago Human Rhythm Project.
And when was this? When was this award?
That was last year as well.
And you're going to be back in the Chicago Human Rhythm Project next week?
Next week. I am their artist in residence for 2009.
And explain so that people can know what exactly is the Chicago Human Rhythm Project.
Chicago Human Rhythm Project is the central... Chicago Human Rhythm Project is a project that offers a world, a place to come and exchange the language in rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
Be that drumming, be that music, be that dance, be that song. I mean, it's the whole world. I mean, he's had Kodo drummers there. Rhythm is life. And he has the entire world, that language is universal.
Yeah. So people come from all over the world to learn.
All over the world to share and learn.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the basic form of communication from Chicago, the Chicago offering, is tap dance. Finis Henderson is one of the pioneers, or shall I say, one of the pillars of that legacy in Chicago.
Right.
And me being his protege, his son,
mm-hmm.
I am the person that stands to represent him. I hope I am doing it well.
I'm sure you will. I'm very sure you will.
So at this point, I am working on trying to develop the rhythm of life. I'm also trying to develop my book entitled My Grace Soul. I've got two other projects that are on the boards. One is a thing called a show called Let's Make Jive that I had a script written for that has to be redeveloped.
Mm-hmm.
But it was based on the music of Cab Calloway, and it evolved around the period of swing. It evolved around swing,
mm-hmm.
the whole period of the 30s and 40s, the 20s, 30s, and 40s. That was the swing era. But it really does parallel today, but because of the Depression.
Right.
But I'm right now just conceiving shows, and I'm trying to find opportunities to continue to develop them and co-writers to help me really expound on them, because I mean, it's one thing to tap dance, but how do you communicate an idea through tap dance? And I have not been able to do that as a writer. I have ideas, but even telling somebody, most of the time they don't get it until you write it down and they can understand what your actual point of view is and how they can connect to it.
And you're still traveling, obviously.
Yes, I am.
Quite a bit.
Not really, not as much anymore. I mean, mm-hmm. the show business is a young man's business.
Mm-hmm.
And when the younger dancers come along, they can do it faster and harder, and people prefer fast. This is America.
Mm-hmm.
They want faster and harder. Right. But that's, you know, that's how I'm that's how I'm promoting the show.
Yeah.
It's Ted Levy. It's Ted Levy in the Rhythm of Life. We want to see how much fun we can have with our pants on. But, I mean, and really, most of the time we look at life's challenges and we don't see life's joy.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, the people you remember most in your life are the people who, no matter what else was going on, they were able to laugh. Well, this has been delightful, baby.
Oh, I'm so glad you talked to me today.
And I'm so glad I talked to you, too.
Yeah. I want to close by having you tell me how people can find you. I know you're on Facebook.
I'm on Facebook. I'm
on
MySpace.
Ted Levy. Ted Lewis Levy.
And Bamalam at nyc.rr.com.
And that's your email address. Bamalam.
That's my email.
Bamalam.
A-M at nyc
at
rr.com.
Okay, that's your email address if anyone is interested in contacting you.
If you're interested in contacting me, call me up. I mean, not call me up, but email me and tell me what your intentions are, and we'll go from there. Or become my friend on MySpace, and because I'm very open to friends on MySpace as long as you have your clothes on. And Facebook.
Yeah.
Or Facebook. I also have a High Five link and a LinkedIn link.
That's right. You are on LinkedIn.
I'm on LinkedIn. And you can go on YouTube and see my videos.
Mm-hmm.
Or videos of me. And I go under two other aliases. One is Ted Levy. The other one is Ted L. Levy.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one is Ted Lewis Levy.
Okay. So that's three.
That's three. I said two other, yeah.
Yeah.
Ted Lewis Levy is what I go by now.
But I like that.
I like it too.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody doesn't use it. That's my name my mommy used. She used to call me Lewis. But I believe in finding my best goodness and letting that speak for me. And I think tap dancing has been good for my life, and one day I'll be able to represent it well. That is my goal.
I would suggest that you already do, but I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
I do.
I mean, that my ego is not so huge that I would deny myself an opportunity to have a better experience. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, sometimes when I look at how my life has gone, I mean, it really does help me when I want to complain about life.
Mm-hmm.
All I have to do is look at this wonderful picture of Jimmy Slat on my wall.
Mm.
And I understand. Or I look at my pictures. I have a picture with Peg. I was in a documentary with Peg Leg Bates.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a picture with Peg. I mean, I just can't even tell you. I mean, when I look at it, I just know that my life has been blessed. If I never do anything else in my life, I won't be disappointed. So there you are. And you do good research.
I try and be thorough before I call people because I don't want to be caught off guard.
I mean, man. This chick knows stuff about me that she ain't supposed to know. I'm like, hold on, let me go check my closet. Make sure she ain't sitting up in there peeking around.
No. I'm many things, but I'm not a stalker.
Oh,
Ted,
darn.
It has been so great talking to you.
You too, baby.
Thank
you. It's a good thing. This is a good thing. We had a good thing.
We did, and we do.
Okay,
and
please.
Thank you for taking time to talk to me. I really do
appreciate
it.
Oh, no problem. You know, anything you want to do, I support it.
I believe in you.
I believe in you. I really do.
Thank you.
You are a good, decent, and wonderful human being.
Oh, thank you, Ted.
And it is my privilege to know you.
Oh, I am the privileged one here.
Okay, sweetie.
All right. Well, thank you, Ted.
Thank you, baby.
Have a good night, and we will talk again soon.
Yeah, next time, not for 2 hours.
Probably not, no.
Right. No. All right, sweetie.
Take care.
Love you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.